At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Omer Al-Khatib, Corporate Development Manager. Please go ahead, Mr. Al-Khatib.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for joining us, and welcome to our third quarter conference call to discuss our results that were released today. Our press release has been filed with SEDAR at sedar.com and is also available from our website at alliancegraintraders.com. On the line with us today, we have Murad Al-Khatib, President and CEO of Alliance Grain Traders, and Lori Ireland, our Chief Financial Officer. Before we get started, I would like to remind everyone that today's call may include forward-looking statements. Such forward-looking statements are given as of the date of this call and involve risks and uncertainties. A number of factors and assumptions were applied in the formulation of such statements, and actual results could differ materially. For additional information with respect to forward-looking statements, factors, and assumptions, we direct you to our news release and our continuous disclosure documents as filed on SEDAR at sedar.com. In addition, note that we do not intend to discuss any undisclosed material information today. I'll now turn this over to Murad for some comments, and then we'll go to questions.
Thanks, Omer. Thank you all, and I welcome you to our third quarter conference call, our first conference call as a dividend-paying corporation. So welcome to our shareholders and other guests. The positive signs of recovery this past quarter in the global economy were somewhat dampened in the agricultural sector by a cool and wet weather during the growing season and a slow and late completion to harvest in Canada. But even with the completion of the harvest and these weather factors, there's a positive outlook for 2009-2010 crop year for the full line of products handled by Alliance. Lentils, chickpeas, and peas were among the crops that were harvested prior to the end of September, before the onset of cooler fall weather conditions. In lentils, peas, and chickpeas, we forecast over 99% of the harvest is complete, and even in November, there were significant volumes of canola, flax, and cereals that were still in the fields or just combined over the past week. Dry edible beans in Manitoba were among the latest crops, with quality still holding out, even with a late season upon us. We want to continue to share a few of our views with you today during this call. In a general sense, I just want to reiterate that world demand for food and quality proteins demanded by a growing global population continue throughout the year as expected. Demand for pulse crops, lentils, peas, chickpeas, and beans, the staple protein consumed by hundreds of millions of consumers daily in all corners of the globe, remains high. But a challenging third quarter with a late harvest and low carryover stocks hampered Alliance's ability to fulfill this demand. Sales volumes in Alliance's Canada, U.S., and Australian businesses were down approximately 6.5% from quarter three 2009, and when we compare that with quarter two 2009, and sales revenues in our business units declined by about 8%. We had very low capacity utilization without a new crop available for processing. Usually by August 15, we're in full swing receiving new crop lentil deliveries, but new crop this year was not in full harvest until after September the 7th. This left a very modest 2009 crop delivery within our quarterly results presented here. But the bottom line, and the positive bottom line, is that Pulse's harvest was late, but Mother Nature cooperated in the fall of 2009. We did not have a major frost incident, even with the very late harvest. As we've stated in the past, Alliance Grain continues to work to meet management expectations despite challenging market conditions. The late completion of harvest and near full depletion of stocks in most origins of the world made it difficult to match available quantities to demand. However, as the largest value-added processor of pulses in the world, Alliance Grain leveraged our existing relationships with producers and customers to find a way to maximize the grain in our system and to fill as much demand as possible to our customers all over the world. This was in part achieved through product diversification, a cornerstone of our global strategy, specifically diversification into other types of lentils, other specialty crops such as chickpeas, peas, and canary seed. And while this assisted us in producing the expected results in this quarter, this also gave Alliance the opportunity to strengthen its position in new and different markets, setting up a diversified opportunity going forward. Let me relate to you an example of what I mean. our new investment in a chickpea processing facility in Regina, Saskatchewan, was a key move allowing Alliance to establish itself this quarter as a premier world shipper of high-quality chickpeas to the global canning, packaging, and ingredient markets. Carryover stocks of chickpeas were available and were processed and marketed, and this was a positive development for our company going forward. In doing this, we reported sales of $73.3 million compared to $107.886 million in the same quarter last year. EBITDA decreased 23% over Q3 2008, with a reported Q3 2009 EBITDA of $8.3 million. As you can see, with a significant decline in overall business volumes, Alliance is still showing strength in a challenging supply environment. This is a testament to our business strategy and team, and I'm optimistic that our future is bright. There are a number of points I want to share with you. First, in this quarter, the transformational acquisition of Arbel was completed. The added capacity in these facilities and the diversification in terms of market access and product mix has helped to minimize risk and maximize our shipments during this quarter and in quarters going forward. The acquisition was an important component of our global origin diversification strategy to take advantage of harvest seasons in four major pulse-producing countries or regions of the world. So we're active in all of these regions now, and we can capture both production and freight advantages that each region offers. Second is the continued strength Alliance shows with regard to management's ability to execute on growth strategies and opportunities in the marketplace. Access to the public equity market, strong financial performance, and steady demand for our products. Couple that with the ability to successfully integrate new acquisitions and bring them online are positive components to our business strategy, continuing the path of growing a solid global foundation. The assets acquired in past acquisitions are now online, and we continue to see positive returns on these investments. New assets acquired, such as the Arbel acquisition, give us an excellent growth platform for future success. I am pleased to report that the Arbel acquisition integration is on track, and we will venture to complete this process within our target at the end of the first quarter of 2010. And, you know, another thing I want to add in the Arbel acquisition is not only the assets, but a very significant addition of management strength, management depth. And, you know, the depth of the Alliance management team is something that I think that many people who are familiar with our company and our story are just starting to appreciate. So this is not a one-man company. We have a very deep and very strong management team to go forward and grow. Another part of this strength in the Arbel acquisition comes with the addition of new products and product lines, such as the small-packed consumer products line of pulses and milled durum wheat products offered by Arbel, and the Arbella brand of pasta. Taking a managed approach to integrating these commercial brands into our core line of business will, we feel, bring continued growth and additional value-added business. Finally, while an excellent crop was expected and delivered in Canada and the U.S., even with these positive expectations, I want to reiterate, people need to eat. So we forecast continued strong demand for our product. Our items are not ones where consumers can simply wait on market projections like they might with other commodities that are in the nice-to-have category. Our products are need-to-have staple proteins. With efficiencies in value-added processing, taking advantage of freight opportunities, diversified markets and origins, as well as a well-instituted risk management program, Alliance has capitalized on opportunities at hand and will continue to do so. Going forward through the end of 2009 and 2010, the harvest in North America has been a positive one. Above-average pulse crops in Canada and the U.S. guarantee plentiful stocks to continue to execute our business plan. And good economics to producers bring more and sustainable acres into our production. With current conditions, good results in Australia and Turkey are expected as well, later in 2009 for Australian new crop, and Turkey is forecast to return to a more average supply scenario as well in 2010. This will translate into ample supply of pulses for exports throughout the year as newly harvested product becomes available across the globe. And as demand is there, Alliance will be there to fill supply through our facilities in Canada, U.S., Australia, and Turkey. In the past 3 years, we've seen pulse acreage in Canada rise over 25% to around 7 million acres. The dollar value of Canadian pulse exports through the first half of the year are over $1 billion, driven principally by emerging markets and high demand. Specifically, lentil exports for the 2008-2009 crop year are up 51% through May, and while shipments of dry peas and beans have jumped 38%, this just illustrates a very strong sector here in the Canadian market. Other pulse crops, including chickpeas, mustard, canary, sunflower seeds are up as well, and there are similar trends in other major origins. Overall, the growth opportunities are substantial, and Alliance holds a large advantage with strong assets, diversified product offerings, access to markets, and logistics solutions. We'll continue to grow as the business requires and utilize our assets in a manner that fits with our strategies. Our eyes are open to new strategic acquisitions that will help us to consolidate the global pulse industry and strengthen our position in key markets that we're active in. This strong market position and overall financial condition of Alliance will position us to build on the successes we've enjoyed to date and grow as opportunities present themselves. I'd like to thank you for your interest in Alliance Grain Traders, and along with other members of our management team, I'm pleased to answer your questions at this time.
Certainly, sir. We now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. In order to accommodate as many callers as possible, one question from each person will be taken. To ask a supplemental question, please press star and one again to rejoin the question queue. If time does not allow for response to all of the questions, the Alliance Grain Traders Investor Relations Group will follow up after the call. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. First question comes from Robert Winslow of Wellington West Capital Markets. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, Robert. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Murad, maybe you can just enlighten us a little bit here on gross margins, please, on a per-ton basis. If you could give us a sense of what your gross margin per ton was this quarter versus the year-ago quarter and or last quarter, Q2 2009, please.
Well, as you know, Robert, we don't disclose specific gross margins per ton, but if you look at the overall gross margin percentages, you can see a market improvement from quarter three 2009 compared to quarter three 2008. There's a couple of trends that are moving in that direction. One is, continued differentiation of our products within markets, and we've added some very significant expansion of our color sorting and optical color sorting capacities within our Canadian markets on our green lentil program, and continued diversification of our markets is leading to a gross margin improvement because we're really skimming the best opportunities in all of the markets that we play in instead of forcing product into certain markets to be able to drive volume. So I think that's a difference, as a food processor and not as a commodity company, we continue our ability to drive that gross margin percentage up, and I think it's translating into better results. You've also got to, factor in the fact that it was only 2 weeks, but there is 2 weeks of inclusion of the Arbel business as well in the quarter, and we do expect, domestic Turkish business to be, a more positive margin profile, especially with the branded products strategy, particularly focused with the Arbel pasta. So, I'm pleased with the gross margin improvement, and, ultimately, we were very adamant in our quarter two discussions that in quarter two we saw margin erosion, due to escalating commodity prices that had kind of escalated faster than the ability of markets to catch up. Mm-hmm. And so I think that quarter three, really what it does is it reaffirms our our ability to maintain our margins or even improve our margins in a declining commodity price system. Because, you know, one of the things, Robert, as you know, somebody who's followed our story closely, you know, over a number of periods, you know, there was some folks that felt that as commodity prices rose, our margins rose accordingly, and when commodity prices would decline, they would decline with that. This quarter continues to show that we're not a commodity story, we're a food story.
Okay, if that's fair. If you can't give us the dollar value of margin, I understand that. Maybe you can give us a sense then just of the relative margin improvement. So if I look back Q3 08 and then compare Q3 09 on a per ton basis, was your gross margin up 10%, 20%, 30%?
Well, I did tell you within my comments on a disclosure basis that our North American business volumes were down. Let me just check the figure that I gave you here. The sales volume was down about 6.5%.
And that's, you said North American?
That's Canada, U.S., and Australia. That's the original Alliance business prior to the acquisition.
Got it.
So, you know, we do have volumes down and margins improved. So,
got it.
You know,
okay.
Definitely a positive trend and one that will continue to drive forward.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Robert. I think we've got Christine Healy next.
Next question is from Christine Healy of Genuity Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Question for you. Lentil prices, they've been really firm despite the huge crops in Canada and in the U.S., and people are saying it's because of the poor weather in India. Just wondering, do you expect the lentil prices to remain at these levels into the spring when the farmers here have to make their planning decisions, or do you see this more as short-term, or if you could just let us know your opinion on the prices?
I mean, you know, a couple of things. On the price side, certainly lentils are dramatically outperforming other crops. I mean, you've seen an adjustment on canola, cereal grains, flaxseed, all the other commodities. Lentils have been very resilient due to demand factors. And, you know, Indian monsoons have been short on moisture. And, you know, there's a view that Indian demand conditions will continue as we go forward. There's a couple of points on price. I mean, you know, for us, because of the model that we use, to basically sell on a gross margin per ton basis, positive prices to the grower is actually a very positive thing for our business overall. And, you know, we end up in a position where growers want to plant the crop, our supply becomes much more stable, and we see the effects of what we've seen over the last year, where acreage dramatically increased, we're going to have healthy stocks to go from one season to another. So we think that that's a positive development. Our prediction at this point is stability on pricing. And, you know, we can't forget that we do have Australia coming in with a new crop in December. So we may see prices softening off a bit in the new year. On the other hand, return profiles are going to remain very positive. So, you know, there are, you know, views within the market that acreage will be up again next year. And so I think it's very positive for the price profile for growers.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to get a handle on is the prices and how it will impact the farmers' planting decisions next year. So you think it'll be sustainable, these increases in lentil acreage?
I mean, you know what, Christine? It's really a factor of how do lentils perform relative to the other crops. And today the gap is so large that even if lentils were to correct downwards, the return profile is still above the other crops.
Mm-hmm.
So we are looking for a sustainable acreage and you know, demand profile. If the Indian situation is, as the Indian Meteorological Authority is reporting, then there is very little chance of a significant bumper crop in India, which means continued strong demand from the Indian subcontinent. That's good for the pulse industry.
Okay. Thanks very much, Murad.
Next question is from Anup Prahar of GMP Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Just a couple of questions. First, on your receivables, I noticed that in your disclosures, about 80% of your receivables are overdue. And I was wondering, that seems like a large number, if you give us some context on that. And in addition to which, there was a significant amount written off during the quarter as well versus none last year. I wonder if you can comment on that.
Anup, first of all, I guess on the receivable overdue, really that's a function of revenue recognition policies. Revenue is recognized when product is invoiced to the buyers. So from that perspective, we have long transit time. So if we're selling more on cash against documents basis, the transit times actually can be up to 45 days. So some of these receivables, they may show up in an overdue scenario, but they're really not overdue because they're actually cash against documents at arrival of cargo. And these are Export Development Canada insured receivables. Therefore, they're current, but they just show up on an aging schedule because that's generated by the accounting system. So I can assure you that there are no issues with overdue receivables. And, this is normal course of business as we continue to grow the book. Now, provisions for credit losses, I don't know what figure you're looking at, but if I look at the
I'm looking at note 8 on page 11. It looks like you wrote off $7.5 million of receivables, and I'm wondering if you can give us some context there.
No, that's $7,500.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Is that $7,500?
Yeah. No, there's no doubtful account issues. I think the total written off actually was $7,500, and then we recovered another $3,800. So the net is nearly nothing.
I understand. Okay, my mistake. Just second question is, can you just reconcile the accounting on the acquisition for us? Because I remember at the time you made the announcement on the Arbel deal, there was about $56, $57 million of debt that you were going to assume, and I'm wondering where that shows up on your balance sheet and your cash flow statements in the quarter.
Well, there's a couple of factors. I mean, obviously, at the reporting period, September 30th, we had a significant amount of credits that were closed off. So receivables were turned into cash and debts were paid down. And then also obviously surplus cash within Alliance was used to retire down, a certain number of the debt exposures that were reported in the pro forma. Now you will notice one, revision, the goodwill numbers reported in the pro forma versus the actual opening balance sheet reported in our notes, note 3 under business combinations. There is an effect of assets are actually valued in U.S. dollars but reported in Turkish liras, and the Turkish lira actually revalued significantly from the figure at the valuation period of February 2009 was 1.688 Turkish liras per U.S. dollar, whereas at business combination period it was 1.48. So we had a significant revaluation of the Turkish lira to compensate for the excessive devaluation that had happened in late 2008, early 2009. So that adjusted the goodwill figure slightly as asset values translated down. But again, that's a non-cash snapshot asset value loss in Turkish liras. So other than that, the business combination was pretty much reported as we expected.
How much cash was in Arbel at the time you closed the deal?
About 2 million Turkish
lira. You mean just actual cash balance?
About
2 million Turkish liras.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Next question is from Michael Simpson of Centric Select. Please go ahead, sir.
Oh, hi, Murad. Maybe you could talk to us if you see any opportunities in the bean processing side.
Yeah, I mean, Michael, beans for me is one that we've talked a lot about. And, we continue to believe as a company that, bean processing is a product line that could mirror what we've done in lentils. And, we look at the global consumption of beans forecast at about 18 million tons versus lentils at about 4.5 million tons. So you can see the magnitude of the opportunity is large. And when we look at it, it's a multi-origin strategy, much like we've done in lentils, with Canada, U.S. being one origin, Turkey being another where we already have a strong presence in beans. And then if we add in China and we add in places like Argentina, we may have a very solid global diversification business acquisition plan for beans, and we're very seriously looking at what we can do in that effect as we go forward acquisition-wise and organic capacity construction as well.
Okay, thanks, Murad.
No problem, Mike.
We have a follow-up question from Robert Winslow of Wellington West Capital Markets. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Murad, it may be a little early yet, but you indicated that the integration of Arbel is tracking well. I believe your initial expectation on synergies was U.S. $5 million. Any update on that?
You know, Robert, integration is going well, and the reason for that is the marketing integration we forecast to be completed by end of December. And, you know, the bottom line is that these companies were already, you know, working so closely together as kind of associated entities that, you know, the traders in Turkey know all the traders here in Canada. They already spoke every day. So now it's a matter just of coordinating pricing and coordinating purchasing decisions. You know, I will tell you that the synergies that we discussed were things like distribution, freight synergies, and option origin pricing synergies, whereby we can now be in a position where we're selling to an Egyptian importer, you know, for December or January delivery, and making it our option whether we ship from Canada, Australia, the U.S., or Turkey. And those things are going very well, where, you know, we are seeing, you know, the strategy of prompt deliveries from Turkey, you know, capturing a premium compared to longer transit times from Canada. Mm-hmm. And so we are feeling that the synergy number that we estimated will be achieved, and, you know, we think it was a very achievable figure that we put forward. So I'm pleased overall with the marketing integration that's happening, and that will continue to track well. On the administrative side, we've, you know, already achieved a lot, and you as experienced business people can understand the complexity of the first quarter reporting when you have this type of a business combination. So, you know, I'm pleased with the ability of the Turkish side to continue to deliver timely and accurate reporting. And for those of you who aren't aware, we have hired a full-time Turkish CFO to work with our CFO here, Lori Ireland. And so he has taken control of the accounting function, and we're quite pleased with the financial controls and their ability to do what we need them to do there. So overall, I think things are tracking as we expected, Robert.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Christine Healy of Genuity Capitals. Please go ahead.
Hi there. A question on Q4. I'm just wondering how many weeks of higher utilization will we see at the Arbel Pulse plants in Q4? What's the timing of your lentil shipments from Canada to Turkey?
You would have seen if new crop came in around after the 7th of September, as I stated in my comments, you're really looking at late September, October shipments.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really won't start to see Canadian product arriving into Turkey just basically in the last week or two was the first arrival. So, you know, there will be product arriving for, you know, portions of the quarter. And
okay.
So I think that that's a positive thing for their supply side in Turkey. On the other side, though, durum wheat and other things have been available. So, you know, the Arbel business, you know, continues to track along as we expect. And, you know, again, I'm very optimistic.
So mid-November then? Is that accurate? Mid-November?
Mid-November is the widespread start of arrivals.
Okay. And if I could sneak in one more question. When we were in Turkey last month, you were talking about looking to expand Arbella into Canada. And I know some of the members of the Arbel team were coming to Toronto to go to a trade show just to gauge interest in the product there. Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, I mean, Arbella launch in Canada and in other areas of the world are ongoing efforts.
Mm-hmm.
We did display at the Grocery Innovations show in Toronto, which is one of the main retail shows. And, you know, the bottom line is that we have a very attractive product. And, you know, the Arbella family brand, you know, with the Legion of Superheroes characters and, you know, the child characters have really attracted a lot of interest. And so, you know, that is a lead into the full range of other pasta products that we have. We're optimistic in the ability to do that. At the same time, you know, I put my comments very carefully to say, you know, we're going to take a very managed approach to the overall growth of the branded product strategy. And so, you know, from that perspective, we're really assessing each entry, Christine, as kind of like a bolt-on acquisition, where I have to look at what's the cost of entry, what's the returns, and then decide whether the capital actually justifies the investment. So, you know, I'm optimistic, and it's not only Canada. I mean, we've got, you know, efforts right now in South America on increasing the presence. We have efforts into other areas of Europe. We have a very strong push into Israel as we speak. Arbella has been launched and is doing very well. And the Arbella team is in China right now at a show in Shanghai. We did a China launch on Arbella, and that's also going very well to go along with our Japanese launch that happened 2 years ago. So we're optimistic that brand is going to continue to grow globally and one that's going to be very good returns for the shareholders.
Okay. If I could just clarify something that you told, you were talking with Robert Winslow on, just the gross margin, 18.5% this quarter. Historically, you've been closer to 15%. Now, I'm getting from your comments that you do see this level as sustainable. If you could just comment on that, is the full increased 18.5%, do you see that as sustainable, or is any portion of that improvement related to the tight supply?
You know what, Christine, I can't really give you much more guidance. We don't, you know, give that type of clarification. So, you know, all I can tell you is that, you know, we continue in our efforts to look for markets that improve our gross margins.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're optimistic in our ability to continue to drive those types of margins as we go forward.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
The next question from Sheil Jimbal, a private investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Oh, hi. Congratulations for good results.
Thank you.
I have a question in terms of analysis for a private investor. I don't see any earnings per share or any per share numbers and all. Is that going to change or you can't publish that?
Actually, we do. In the management discussion and an analysis, in our consolidated statements, if you refer to our consolidated financial statements on page 2, under the income statement, the consolidated statement of income, we do actually have the basic net income per share, the diluted net income per share, and the basic weighted average number of shares outstanding and the diluted number there. So you can refer to that and you can see those figures presented in the financial statements.
Okay, so it's not in the summary, it's in the details.
It's actually in the consolidated statement of income.
Okay, secondly, what is the payout ratio right now for your dividends?
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Payout ratio. For your dividends, payout ratio of the cash flow?
I just have to check the figure here. The payout ratio is actually, we have it calculated. Just 1 second, let me refer to my number here. It's this quarter was 29.18%.
Okay, so you plan to stay that low or is there a plan to increase that somewhere in the future?
I mean, dividend policy is a quarterly decision by the board. We're a growth company. We are going to maintain a dividend yield to our shareholders, but we're definitely going to continue to grow the company.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
We have a follow-up question from Anup Prahar of GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, maybe just a question for Lori. In the MD&A, you make reference to interest expense being higher than normal due to a balloon payment on early retirement of the Arbell facility. Can you give us a sense as to how much that was?
Well, their operating lines were at a higher interest than ours, so it made more sense to send some of the cash there to pay those down, and it was approximately $1 million. A million Turkish liras, yeah.
That was the payment penalty?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
But again, Anup, when we did the calculation, I mean, to retire those facilities and renegotiate them was a very good move for Alliance going forward. Because our cost of borrowing is much lower than our Bell's was, and that's one of the synergies that we stated in this whole thing.
As a reminder, anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. We have a follow-up question again from Robert Winslow of Wellington West Capital. Please go ahead.
Follow-up after follow-up, eh?
Robert, it's all right. You're asking the questions everybody else wants. And
well, okay.
I hope Christine and Anoop are next. So.
This is my last question, I think.
All right.
In the past, Murad, you've mentioned prospects to expand the business into China. Unless I missed it on the call, I did duck out for just a second here. Is there any kind of update on what China may have to offer Alliance Grain Traders?
I mean, to us, China is a very interesting market. And, to anyone selling any type of product, I guess you can't ignore the dynamics of China. And for us, China is really a twofold opportunity. One is, it is a consumption market. And from a consumption perspective, it isn't traditional pulse consumption as we think of it in India and in North Africa, Middle East. They're utilizing Canadian and U.S. and Australian pulses, in particular peas, for starch extraction for vermicelli noodle production. And so peas go in, they extract the starch, and Canadian peas in particular have shown a very positive result on the elasticity of the vermicelli noodle. So from that perspective, we see it as a large opportunity to grow our bulk product program to complement our branded bagged capacity. So it's one of the markets that could help us drive capacity utilization on the bulk side. So, that's one side is the overall consumption. And so vermicelli noodles is one. And then for those who are familiar with Chinese traditions, moon cakes during the moon festival are also utilizing peas as a major component to produce mooncakes. And, when we go to China, they talk about how it's such a niche market. But, a niche market in China is still in the range of 70 to 80,000 tons of consumption of split yellow peas per annum. So, any growth in consumption becomes something significant in terms of it being a market. So we like the consumption side. But then on the other side, it's an origin at the same time. So we look at the northern regions and we actually, look at the area around Dalian, China. It's a major bean producer where they're producing white beans, they're producing red kidney beans, they're producing navy beans, and also small green lentils. So we look at that and we say, it's another origin of production. We need to be there. We can kill it as a consumption market and an origin at the same time. It's something that we have to look at, and we're going to continue to look at the opportunities there.
Thank you.
There are no more questions at this time. I will turn the call back over to Mr. Al-Khatib. Please go ahead.
Thank you, everybody. And I'd just like to remind everyone that an audio archive of this call will be posted on our website on November 18th. And if you do need to replay the call, please refer to the instructions in our news release with all of the call-in numbers, or you can visit our website at alliancegraintraders.com for that information as well. If you have any further questions later on today, please don't hesitate to give us a call at the office in Regina, and we'd like to thank you all for attending, and have a great day.
And I just wanted to add one thing. Everyone is aware that the actual CDAR filing may lag up to 24 hours, so if anyone's looking for it, I think Omar had mentioned it is on our website, and that information should be readily available to any investor that requires it. So if there's any trouble, give a call to Omar, and he can facilitate getting copies of the information. Thanks, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating. Have a pleasant day.